Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Lovecraft Country Crossing, a weekly recap and review of the groundbreaking HBO series. Tune in as Megan and Maria discuss, dissect, and dish on each episode, and speculate on what is yet to come. We are now entering Lovecraft Country. Join us, won't you?
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Lovecraft Country Crossing. I'm Megan.
I'm Maria.
And today we will be going over Lovecraft Country episode 4, A History of Violence. Whew!
I was thinking about that title.
Yeah, me too.
And I was wondering, whose history? Like, are we talking about the history of the United States? Which, yes. Are we talking about Montrose's history? Which,
yes.
Yeah.
Talk about Tick's history? Letty's history?
Possibly.
Their most recent history with everything that happened in Artem? Like, and during the opening scene with Montrose, being drinking and grieving and, you know, just in his boxers, just in his apartment, just going through it, you hear, like, this overlay of, like, voices of, like, of, I'm assuming violence that has occurred in his life and Tick's life and George's life, and everything that happened there in Artem.
Yeah, he's basically being haunted by his past, right? So he hears George to tell him to take the book.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, Tick might not be his son.
Yeah.
To protect the family. You also hear someone yelling about why you have that flower in your hair. What are you doing preening in the mirror? And I'm not sure if this is Montrose talking to Tick or Montrose's father talking to him.
Yeah, because when I watched it the second time, I was just like, who is that? It sounds like Montrose, but it could be like the actor playing Montrose being like, you know, doing the voice of his father. So their voices sound similar.
Or maybe it's both. Like, maybe it was him saying one thing and then his father saying the other.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just... And then Montrose is... He's reading the Order...
of the Golden Dawn.
Yeah, the Order of the Dawn. The Order of the Ancient Dawn. I wrote all of this down, listeners, I swear. We watched this episode multiple times.
The Golden Dawn is a real thing. Oh, well, yeah. A real club, but yeah.
So. I swear to God, we watch this show. We just have a lot of stuff that we have to remember. And so Montrose has the book of the Order of the Ancient Dawn, and he's reading the passage that says, Adam named, Eve fucked, God brought forth monsters, monsters devoured, God smites Eve. And I'm just like,
Why y'all hate Eve so much?
One, why I hate Eve. One, Eve was framed. Two, is this supposed to make sense?
I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
I think maybe things are like their goals, perhaps? Like, this is how the story is supposed to work for them?
Maybe, but all,
I don't know.
But, like, with, like, you know, the Christian religion that we know, like, all the fault is on Eve's shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just like... One, who did Eve fuck? Because last I checked...
Had to be Adam. She didn't do it alone.
Right? Like, Cain and Abel didn't come out of nowhere, y'all. Like, unless... The snake anthropomorphized into a man.
Like that vision of Atticus?
Yes. Because that could very well... Watch, we get to, like, episode 8, and I would be like, ha, fucking knew it. that was the first, like, you know, instance of, you know, somebody stepping out. Like, Eve fucked the snake human. And Adam's like, what the fuck?
And that's next why thing, Adam's so mad.
That's why Adam's so mad, and that's why God gave us monsters, and now everything's fucked up now.
But now this is still, like, Eve's fault. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's still Eve's fault. Even, like... Eve was framed anyway. Right. And then we have Montrose standing over a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And lighting a fire.
Yeah. And he says, he puts the book from the Ancient Dawn into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it smells like Tulsa. So now we have confirmation that that riot that they were in, where the stranger with the baseball bat saved them, was Tulsa.
Yeah.
Because as Dora said in episode 2, they lived in Tulsa.
Yeah.
So now it's like, can we have a little connection crossover with Watchmen or something?
Like, I mean, we might. Like, it would not surprise me if the writers of Watchmen, or some of the black writers on Watchmen and the writers mm-hmm. on Lovecraft Country, were like, listen, bet. Mm-hmm. What if our stories, our fantastical stories, took place in the same universe? The same historically, the same, like, time-wise modified universe.
That would be dope.
Booyaka shot! It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all.
But also, I've had this theory, speaking of the voices Montrose hears in his head,
mm-hmm.
particularly when it comes to why are you wearing that flower, why are you printing in the mirror, I've had this theory that Montrose is gay.
Yeah.
Particularly because he didn't seem all that shocked or upset when Uncle George said that Tick might not be his son.
Yeah.
Like, and also, Uncle George is talking about him going down and welcoming the soldiers.
Yeah.
And how his father beat him for that. And you'd be like, why would he beat you for that? That seems patriotic.
Right. And there's a lot to like. They look very snazzy in those uniforms.
Yeah.
Or like the baseball players. And like, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. Oh, we'll get into that. We'll get into that later. That's like, yeah. Put a pin in that. And then we get the title card. And it's a skull in the background and a compass after they give us the title of the episode. Because all these title cards are giving us clues. And if you're not looking for it, you don't see it. I was just like, oh, there's a compass and there's a skull in the background. God damn it.
Lovecraft Adventure Country. Time.
Adventure Time. This really is the Indiana Jones episode.
Yeah, Indiana Jones, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Like, yeah. What was the one about the Constitution that came out some years ago?
Oh, National Treasure.
Yes, National Treasure.
With Nicolas Cage, with, you know,
all of that.
National Treasure, Nicolas Cage.
Yes, exactly. Nicolas Cage's National Treasure.
And then we cut to Christina riding in the Bentley to the tune of Bitch Better Have My Money by Rihanna.
Because she's feeling on top of the world. All of her plans so far have worked out.
Yeah. And she's in a European car because she's driving on the right side. The right side?
It's her steering wheel and everything is
on the right. Yeah, her steering wheel stuff is on the right. So it's a European car. And she's like driving along fast, like weaving in and out of traffic, like, bitch, get the fuck out of my way. I'm a white woman.
Can't touch me.
Yeah. Right. I'm a white woman on a mission. I need y'all to leave. And she goes to the Winthrop house.
And she looks amazing. Like, I love her dress. I mean, her fashion is, like, seriously on point every time.
Yeah, she has the money.
Her dress is... Oh, she has money. You know, she's not rich. She's wealthy.
She's wealthy.
Right. So the dress is, like, this beautiful deep shade of crimson. And the hat. I love this hat.
Yeah.
Because when she wears it kind of at an angle, so when you have this kind of... You're kind of sort of looking up at her.
Yes.
Yeah. You see it as kind of a halo, like a black halo.
Yeah, it's like this dramatic, like, if she were in silhouette, it'd be a very dramatic, like, silhouette with the hat.
Yeah.
But she's always dressed impeccably. And she gets out of the, she pulls up in front of the Winthrop house, and she gets out of the car. And on the sidewalk, somebody has written black with an arrow pointing to the house.
Which is one way that I know we're still in Chicago and not the South, because it just would have said niggers.
Yes. The North is being polite. The Midwest is being polite.
Racism with a smile.
I said, oh, don't even get me started. That's this whole show, is racism with a smile.
It really is.
And then Letty comes out. And she's just like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing at my house? Why are you on my porch?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you here, girl? Like, we said all we had to say.
Right, like, I'm done with you.
Yeah, I'm done with you.
And she doesn't seem surprised to see her. Like, she's surprised that she's alive or anything.
Yeah, she's not surprised. She's surprised, but she's not like shocked. Mm-hmm. And so
Christina tries to get in the house.
Yes, she does. Right, she tries to get in the house, but she can't because the house is still under protection from what the priestess did. Mm-hmm. And Christina's just like, "Oh, who helped you exorcise Hiram?" And
yeah. Because like, there's no way that protection would work with Hiram in that house.
Yeah, they're just like, and they're, and like, Christina doesn't miss a beat. And the thing, like, I don't like Christina, but I respect Christina. Does that make sense?
Oh, she's a good villain. She's a very good villain. Yeah.
She's a great villain. And how, like, but I also wish she were a little smarter, because she sometimes gives too much away.
But she wants to do that. She's trying to do that to get you to do something.
True. Very true. I was just like, you're giving all this information. I know you're doing this for a reason, but girl, you're giving way too much information. Right. So
she tells Letty, don't let the men fool you into thinking, you know, this is all about you. This is all about them, right?
Yeah.
Because she, you know, Letty figures out there's something in the house that Christina wants.
Yeah.
And she also figures out that the money came from her.
Yeah. Like when she, like when Letty is just like, oh, you want something in this house? You want something in this house, something to do with Atticus? That's when Christina's just like, girl, don't let the men fool you that this is all about them. Right. Essentially, she's like saying, it's just like, I'm not doing this for men, I'm doing this for me.
Like, right. The only thing The only thing is, like, she's trying to sound like it's sisterhood, but as
it's not.
Mickey Kendall said on Twitter, hashtag solidarity is for white women.
100%. And it's like, and I know Letty didn't fall for it. So,
no, not at all.
Yeah, like, it's good advice that Christina is giving, but Letty is just like, but girl, I'm not about to be swayed by this because we both got, you know, boobs and a vagina. We're not on the same side, clearly.
Right.
We're clearly not on the same side. But Christina asks for an orrery, and Letty's just like, what the hell is an orrery?
Right.
And she's just like, oh, it's just something. And Letty was just like, well, if I find it, I'll let you know, slam.
Right.
She's like, and Christina's just like, well, like, no, call me if you find something. Boom. And she's like, right.
Well, right. Christina also spills the beans on Tick trying to shoot her.
Yes. Yes.
Because she knows it'll piss Letty off, basically.
Yeah. They're just like, you know, think he's going to get away with murder. And Letty's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
He's like, oh, he didn't tell you?
Oh, he didn't tell you?
Obviously, right. He didn't. He's like, he came to the real estate office and pointed a gun at me and tried to shoot me.
Yeah. You know, and if he keeps going on this way, something might happen to him, and I would hate for you to have to die again.
Yeah. Girl. Yeah. I'm just like, shut up. And it's also think Letty is just like, well, if he wanted to shoot you, you'd be dead, and obviously he couldn't. So you're alive on my doorstep, bothering me in the middle of the day.
Right.
So obviously you're alive, girl. But it's also Letty's probably just like, but if you were a ghost, that would be on. You know, that would track with how my life has been the past couple days.
Well, speaking of ghosts, one thing that Christina mentions is that Hiram's ghost was the one protecting the orrery.
Yes. Yes.
And so now I'm wondering why Hiram's ghost revealed the orrery to Hippolyta.
Yes. I was thinking that too. I was just like, if his ghost is protecting it, then why did he reveal it to somebody? Maybe the ghost of Hiram, like, sensed that Christina was behind this or on her way in some way and had to get it out of the house. Because whatever it was, like, the spirit of Hiram revealed it so it could be taken away. Mm-hmm. And, like, if we go by the theory that the room that it was in is, like, the Red Room in the house on Haunted Hill that we mentioned in last episode, then the room showed Hippolyta something that would intrigue her. Mm-hmm. And the aura would do that. Why she took it, don't know, girl.
I would have taken it too.
But it's so big. How'd she get out of the house? The kids helped her.
Whenever she found them, I guess.
The ongoing saga of where the fuck were the fucking kids in the house.
But we get back to Uncle George and Hippolyta's shop.
Yes. You
know. And Bobo's still alive.
He's still...
yay. Bobo and Dee are, like, playing or whatever, and they go to his house. And Hippolyta's on the phone with her father trying to figure out what solar system this model could be of, because it has two suns.
Yeah. And she's, like, talking to her dad on the phone. She was like, but what solar system can maintain two suns? And he's like, oh, like, you know, there's theories of, like, you know, galaxies, 20 million some odd that could. And she was just like, but they're eclipsing each other. She was like, but dad, the suns aren't eclipsing each other.
Right.
Like, the solar system is depicting with two suns. And I was just like, so her dad is also a nerd. Bless. Yes. And they're, like, having this conversation, like... This is a conversation they have all the time.
They talk about astronomy all the time.
And he's not being, you know, condescending to his daughter and asking her why she wants to know this. Like, they're having a conversation, parlaying information back and forth.
It's definitely something they did together.
And her father is just like, what you're describing sounds like one of those comic books you said Dee is drawing. Out of this world.
Right.
It was like, dun-dun-dun.
Out of this universe.
So
cute. And she's still trying to figure out this orrery and everything, and one of her coworkers says to her, every lock thing has its key.
Yeah. You just have to find it. It's like, and you can do it.
Right. She has, like, this My mom was like, oh, I thought he was going to help her.
It's like, well, how's he going to help her?
Help her find the key.
Okay.
I was like, he's gotta get back to his job.
He's a man working in a garage. Like, how do I help him find a key to this, like, thing that we don't, like, we only know the name of it. We don't know what it's depicting. Like, no, we don't know what solar system, we don't know what galaxy it's in. Like, we have no idea. So.
But see, she was trying to find the key so she could get to the gears to make it move.
Yeah.
And because once you are able to see how these planets and stars are circling each other, you might have a better idea of what galaxy this is trying, what universe this is trying to represent.
Yeah. But that was adorable. Your mom was just like, I thought it would help. Mom, how is it going to help?
I thought it was cute. Right.
And then, so we see, next scene, we see Letty stomping.
Stomping. It's like she stomped straight after. It's like she closed the door on Christina and just started to stomp her way all the way to the library and, like, didn't stop.
It's like she closed the door and just left out the back of the house and just stomped all the way to the Southside Colored Library to find Tick, because she knows him. And she knows that wherever he is, he will be at the library. Because that motherfucker likes to read.
Right. And Letty confronts Tick about him hiding the information. Much to the annoyance of the boy who's sitting across from them reading during
Tick's Center of the Earth. That was so funny.
It was so funny.
It's like, shh. This annoyed, like, 9-year-old boy is like, I am trying to read. If y'all Negroes could just tone
it. Be quiet. Right.
Be quiet. We are in a library.
And he just, like, kind of, he just, at one point, he just gives up and is like, oh.
He literally slams a book down. It's like, ugh.
It's so funny.
That was so funny. And as somebody who works in a library, would I tell you I've seen people almost come to blows about telling people to shut up?
I believe it.
Like, listen, the library is a rough place. It's a lawless land.
Oh my gosh, what?
It's lawless sometimes.
The Wild Wild West out there?
Oh, 100%. Girl, don't even get me started. That's a whole nother podcast.
It's really calm and air-conditioned.
I don't know what libraries you've been to.
Okay.
That's a whole nother podcast I can start about tales from the library. Get me started.
I feel like this whole episode kind of shows how Letty is smarter than Tick and Montrose and moves more directly than they do.
Yes. Like, she's
on mission, like, this whole episode.
Yeah, she's on a mission, and she could connect the dots. And is willing to modify what she's doing based on new information.
Yeah.
What we learn in this episode about Montrose and Tick is that both of them are stubborn,
arrogant, and they get caught up in their relationships.
Yes. So Tick has to be a Taurus. Has to be. Because having a Taurus best friend, stubborn. Do not like to change course of action.
That or an Aries.
Or an... Oh, God. Oh, God. Bullheaded cannot. Refuses mm-hmm. to just, like... I am giving you new information. I have peer-reviewed studies. I have books on the subject. I'm presenting you with all of this information. And you looking at me like I just grew two heads.
Right. And Tick is out here trying to, quote-unquote, protect Letty as if...
Oh, please.
The worst hadn't already happened to her already.
Yeah.
Like, she's not scared.
She doesn't need
you trying to protect her. You know.
Yeah, like, she died.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need your protection. Actually, you need her protection.
Okay. Because she's the one who tells him, like, your father probably researched all this stuff before he went up there the first time.
Yeah. And Atticus just like, bye, Letty. And she's like, fine, well, call me when you figure it out. And then we see Atticus going through all the books and seeing the checkout cards. For the youths listening, there was a time where you had physical card in the library book that had to be dated and stamped.
Oh, you know, I haven't checked out a book from a library in so long. I didn't know they didn't do that anymore.
No, they don't. Like, my system does, they give you a receipt. You check out your book, they put on a receipt, you put in the book. That's your receipt reminder.
Yes. Well, you did have to have a card in the front of the book where you would write your name and the date you checked it out.
Yep. And there was also something called the card catalog. And it was named that because there were actual physical cards.
Yes.
And like a huge like drawer that you had to, you know, your call number. You had to listen. The youths will never know.
The decimal number?
The Dewey Decimal System, like, listen, it was involved. If you were looking for a book, you were serious about finding that book.
You really were. You really were.
But, and so after that scene, we cut to Atticus goes to the bar and he walks by and Sammy sees him and he's like, oh, they're in the back.
Right. He knows why.
Atticus doesn't even have to say anything. He already knows, like, oh, they're,
and
like.
Tree is there too.
And Tree is there, too. Oh, we'll get to Tree later. We will get to Tree later. But Atticus sees Letty and Montrose at the table. And he's just like, for the love of God.
And see, when I saw her there, I was like, I knew it because it's exactly what I would have done.
Yeah, so let me find his daddy. Okay, I know exactly where his daddy likes to go. Right.
You don't want to listen to what I have to say. I'm going to go ask your dad. We can sit here and read all these books. I told you he already checked them out.
Told you. What I told you. What did I tell you? A long time ago. What did I say was going to happen? Exactly what happened.
What sign do you think Letty is?
Oh, man. Whew. Okay, let me think. I get Pisces vibes. But she also might be a Scorpio.
She's a Libra.
How is she a Libra?
Because she and I think exactly alike. That's
why. Come to think of it, no, she does remind me of my friend who is a Libra. And like,
when she was hosting that party, I was like, yes. That's very me. And whenever she gets annoyed with them, I get annoyed at the exact same time. Okay.
It's like, oh, these men.
Yeah.
But, and then Atticus sits down and he's just like, huh, y'all two. Right. And
he's calling foolish and crazy. That's why y'all belong together.
Oh my God. Yes. But Macho was just like, no wonder y'all sweet on each other. Foolish and crazy go well together. I was like, see, everybody sees your love, but y'all too. I mean, y'all do. Y'all just want to admit to nothing. But right. Y'all fucked in the bathroom. Come y'all on. Could just say it. Like,
and you know what? I was thinking about that, and because like that scene, like with them in the bathroom, I was like, dang, that was kind of rough. But he didn't know it was Letty's first time specifically, but
yeah,
because Tree was lying on his dick.
Yeah, Tree was 100%. Yeah, Tree was 100% lying on his dick. So, because I texted Maria, I was like, I am an idiot. I don't know why I didn't put this together when I watched it.
You're not an idiot.
But I watched it the three times that I watched it, that the reason that Tick went in there fucking full force is because Tree had been in his ear, like, no more than, like, 2 minutes previous, talking about him and Letty used to wrestle in high school. And so Tick just thought, like, Letty was, you know, DTF. Like, and actually, if you rewatch that scene, because I watched that scene many times, because I am thirsty.
Okay.
Because I am thirsty, and I haven't been touched in a very long time. TMI.
Listen, me
because it's the pandemic times. And I watched that scene over and over again. And if you look at it, when they have the camera on Tick, he looks at her when they're in the middle, and he has, like, this kind of unsure look on his face, but he's still going. Because he's, like, when they're, you know, when he's pumping away, like, he look, like, he looks at her, just like, is this okay? I hope this is okay.
Right.
Like, so, was Tick a virgin?
I don't think so.
Or at least very limited in his sexual experience.
Quite possibly, yes.
Yeah. So he's looking at her like unsure. I was like, is this how she likes it? Is this the way that, you know, this is supposed to go?
Right.
Like, so yeah, so like, so you look at that scene again and look at how he, when the camera is looking over Letty's shoulder. Okay. And you see, it's super quick, but you see him look at her just like, is this out? Yeah. I watched that scene like six times.
Oh my goodness. It's okay.
Because I'm a thirsty bitch. Anyway.
But Montrose accidentally reveals that he knows there are 34 other lodges.
Yes. And Tick is like, how do you know that? He's like, right. I don't. That's what I'm talking about.
Because he thinks Montrose going down this path will, Montrose thinks that Tick going down this path will ultimately get him killed. And he's trying to, in his eyes, he's, you know, trying to keep them protected. But again, you can't do that because Christina's not going to stop.
Yeah, right? Christina's not going to stop until she gets what she wants.
Right. And Letty was like, what happens if we don't find those pages?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
He refuses to help and she's about to walk. She calls him an asshole. He's like, you and your son are just the same. Because they're both keeping secrets and trying to, 100%. Quote unquote, protect people when you're keeping the secret leaves them more vulnerable.
Exactly. Letty is really just like, give me all the information so I know what to expect. But you keeping stuff from me and you keeping stuff from each other is going to get all of us killed.
Right.
So, let's just put all our cards on the table. Let's see what we were working with.
So, you know, he feels ashamed by what Letty's saying. And he says to her, oh, well, do you have any family in Boston? Because apparently that's where they need to go.
Yeah.
Which, to try and get into the vault.
Yeah, which stick a pin in that because I got questions. Anyway.
Christina's playing hide and seek with a bunch of kids in the neighborhood.
Which is very cute.
But she doesn't know how to play hide and seek.
Yeah.
Which, what kind of childhood did you have?
Girl, do we even want to know?
That you don't know how to play hide and seek. I was like, I don't know, maybe she is an alien? Like, what is going on?
She might be. Or she was just raised in, like, a super rudimentary way that, like...
I was like, was she raised in that Braithwaite house this whole time?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Raised in that Braithwaite house this entire time and, like, not allowed... Because that house is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and like,
exactly.
You
except
know,
for that really strange 1800s town. Like,
yeah, like, so are you really going to want to play with the random, like, you know, country kids when you have all this wealth and you're in this weird neighborhood and your father is essentially like the beast and Beauty and the Beast lives in the castle? And like, and you're like the kid, like nobody's gonna come and want to play with you. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
So she was probably like steeped in like Order of the Ancient Dawn stuff, and yeah.
and their classism as well.
Yeah, and their classism, and like the fact that, you know, she was a girl and not a boy, so there was stuff that she just had to, you know, to learn just in case. But yeah, so like, and also we're going to come back to this, but William, stick a pin in that, we'll get back to that in a second, but but so she's like playing hide and seek with the kids, and the one boy's just like, you haven't played, like, it's hide and seek, you're supposed to like hide, do you not know how to play this?
Well, she does hide, but when he finds her, she just starts yeah dancing.
And he's like you have to run to home base, like, crazy lady, what are you doing? And so like she runs to home base, she's like, ha, I'm safe. And then we see, you know, some cops roll up, and it's just like, oh shit. Like, oh shit, what just happened?
You know, but right. And so they take her somewhere. Like, they take her somewhere because when she gets there,
it's dark. I think it's a lodge. I think it's one of the lodges.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the lodges. But, I mean, like, they drove so long. Cause
it's dark.
It was, like, bright afternoon. And when they get there, it's dark. And I'm like,
what? How far out did they take her?
How far? Right. And they actually take her to go see Captain Lancaster, who was the officer we saw in the previous episode talking to Letty about the house.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, well, you came into my city unannounced.
Yeah.
Whatever. And she opens these slats on like a closet.
And there's somebody in there.
You can hear somebody like, yeah,
moaning. Yeah, I was just like, oh my God. What is this? First
I was like, is that him? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's like, what are these white people, what are these crazy white people doing? But but yeah, like Captain, I wrote his name down, Captain Lancaster, he is just like, you come to my city unannounced, like, this is the fucking mafia, like, you bring this to me on the,
talking about she's trying to take over his territory,
and she's just like, did I miss your official like entrance into the order? He was like, I didn't miss yours, the rules are very clear, no cunts allowed. And I was like, harsh, bro.
And see, I was like, oh, so, right. But the thing is, he's not a member.
You don't remember either. So all y'all out here flexing in a no-flex zone. Like, what are y'all doing?
Mm-hmm. And she's talking to him about the orrery. Yeah. And she says that is the key to time travel.
I heard that. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. We're throwing in time travel in this bitch now?
Yes, we are. Because I remember seeing in, like, some of the preview clips, like, Hippolyta has on some kind of possibly Egyptian headpiece or something.
Yes. Like, or, like, she's, like, a warrior or something. Like,
some kind of, right.
Yeah. So, just like, oh, man. This season, I hope they get renewed for a second season. I don't know what they're going to do. Because if they're going off the book.
Right.
And also, listeners, I have not finished the book. If they're going off the book, then who, like, I hope they use all the material from the book in this one season.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it was made to be one season or not.
Yeah.
Like, Watchmen was made to be one season.
Yeah.
But after that, we see Letty and Tick packing up the car, Woody.
Passive aggressively.
Trip to Boston. Very very passive aggressively having like this adorable luggage fight.
Like, yeah, but, and also like the sexual tension is so thick.
Very there.
Like, you could cut it. I was like, if y'all don't just kiss, good God. And like Tick,
but he needs to apologize.
He does. But Tick has the bag, and she's just like grabbing it. He's like, he's also holding it with like one arm, and Letty is using all of her body weight. And she was like, let go, and he lets go, and she falls back. She was like, she huffs at him. He was like, you told me to let go. Unlike you, you told me something, not listen. I was like, shut up, Tick.
Yeah, because she's like, well, if I had listened to you, we wouldn't be having this lead to go to Boston right now.
Yeah. And then Montrose comes down. And he was just like, this is not my fault. And he just takes a swig. And Hippolyta and D actually throws a suitcase at Atticus. And then Hippolyta comes down. And she's just like, oh, there's no greater.
Montrose is like, yeah, Montrose isn't.
This is not my fault. This is not my fault. And like, and they're going to, we learn that they're going to go to a museum. And Hippolyta is just like, oh, there's no greater astronomy exhibit than that. Outside of Naka. And
and I'm sure she's also trying to find some information.
Oh, 100%.
Ori as well.
100%. Yeah. And also trying to find out the secrets that they're keeping. So there's a whole lot that Hippolyta's trying to find out, and nobody is giving her an inch. An inch.
But she looking at him like, I know something going on.
Yeah. She was like, y'all can't keep anything from me. I've known you since you were born. Kind of know you, Letty. I was married to your brother, so I've known you forever. Y'all keep it secrets. And y'all need to tell me right now. You using my car. But anyway.
They get packed into the car, and they're about to be on their way, and Tree shows up.
Oh my god, Tree. He comes up, comes to the middle of the street with his suitcase, like, grinning. And Atticus is just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yep.
He was like, I got a Philly
up in Philly.
Right. I got a Philly in Philly. So I figured I'd ride with y'all all the way to Boston. And Mantra's just like, I didn't invite him.
No. And we were like, well, how do you know?
Put a pin in that.
Well, I think he overheard them in the bar.
That too, or... If, like, we can't get to it until we get to them being in Boston in the museum. But,
but Hippolyta invites him in the car. And I think she does this specifically because she can see how much he annoys everybody else.
Yes. It's like, who is this stranger? Who's not really a stranger, but, like, a stranger. Hitching a ride. And you know Tree is that annoying passenger.
Yeah.
Who wants to, like... play games and talk and sing along to the radio and like try to engage.
Say like that in itself is annoying, but it's probably like the topics he's gonna talk about.
Yeah, and like try to engage everybody in a fun road trip game, and everybody's just like, Tree, we really need you to shut up right now. Yeah.
He'll refuse to take any of the social cues.
Exactly. Like that's Tree's that dude.
Yeah.
He's also that dude.
He's that dude who thinks that he's fascinating.
Yes. To everybody. And he thinks his jokes are the best. Like, he's like, everything he talks about is super interesting. And Tree is also that dude in the office who you know puts fish in the microwave.
No. Oh, man. He probably would be that dude.
Right? would be that guy.
I had a coworker put a lobster tail in the microwave at 11 a.m.
We fighting.
And ate it at her desk instead of the break room.
We are fighting.
Do you know I follow that smell all the way directly to her desk and ask her, what are you doing?
Yo.
But she was like, I was hungry. You'll be all right. Like,
Girl, you have set off a stink bomb in this whole office. Like, it's an act of terrorism.
Microwave fish at work is... criminal. But speaking of work and having a job, Ruby finally attempts to go and apply, you know, to Marshall Fields, because she's been thinking about this since before episode one. She's been working on her resume. She's been either trying to get a new dress or have her dress, you know, altered so she can look just as best as possible for the interview. And she looks good when she walks in there. She looks amazing.
And the actress who plays her,
one mean,
is gorgeous.
Yeah, she's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And she goes in there, she's got like this, I'm finally gonna do it, got this hope, you know, on her face.
Yeah.
And then she sees another colored girl working in the shop.
And she's instantly deflated. Well, instantly. Actually, first she's curious.
Yeah.
And it's like that hopeful curiosity that's just like, oh, okay.
So she sticks around for a little bit, and the woman eventually asks if she can help her.
Yeah.
And they start talking about how she got hired there and everything. And the girl says that she just kind of applied on a whim last week And she got it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Ruby is just totally crushed because Ruby has been preparing for this for so long.
Yeah, like she's just like, oh, they already have one. They don't need another one. Yeah,
she knows they're never going to hire two at once.
Yeah. And it's like, and this is also like a different time because this is when, like, you know, having like a retail job at a department store was actually prestigious.
Yes, and it would actually pay a pretty good wage.
Yeah, and it's like, because Counter, I remember watching this whole documentary on, like, Counter Girls, and how that was, like, a huge thing, and, like, to say you worked the counter at, like, a Macy's or a Lord & Taylor or whatever was, like, a big deal.
Yeah. Even in, what was it, gosh, the show, season 2 that came out? Umbrella Academy. One of the characters in there was talking about when she grew up, she had always wanted to be a counter girl at Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, like, it was considered, like, you were moving and grooving, you were going places if you were a counter girl. Like, so, like, for Ruby, it was, like, it was, like, a badge of honor to be able to work at Marshall Fields. Mm-hmm. And somebody got it before she did. And she's so sad. She's so sad.
Because they're definitely not looking to be in the business of diversity. They're
absolutely not.
Tokenism will be just fine with them. So
yeah, it's like, oh, we got one, we're fine. Right. See, we hired this pleasant Negro. What are you talking about? Like, so I felt for Ruby in that moment. Too. I was like, oh, poor Ruby.
She had her heart set on this.
100%. Like, she saw it as upward mobility.
She really
she could get this job. She could probably get her own apartment. It would pay her better than whatever job she was doing now, and like,
especially
it was
a
chance.
Not living with Letty anymore.
Yeah. So, and it was a chance. It was a chance, and so yeah.
But our little happy family finally gets to the museum.
Yes, in Boston, they finally reach Boston.
Yes, and you know, they all kind of go their separate ways, and Tree tries to talk to Letty.
Oh my god.
About why people call him Tree.
Tree. He was like, he said, most men have two legs. I have Tree. I was like, get the fuck out of my face.
So
get
corny.
Off of my TV screen, Tree. Get off of my TV screen. Get away. Go somewhere.
And he is so confident with that line.
So confident. Like, am I supposed to be moved? Is my basement supposed to flood for you? Like,
you're right. And she says, shouldn't I have known that since we fucked in high school?
High school? Seymour?
Yeah.
Seymour. And she just rolls her eyes and turns away. Mm-hmm. He's standing there looking stupid. Because I thought his name was Tree because he was so tall. Because that's an obvious conclusion.
Well, I mean, who knows, right? He's probably just chatting bullshit, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not why everybody calls him Tree. Like,
right?
Please.
I guess most people just think that, like, oh, he's tall. He's tall like a tree. Okay, cool.
Right.
Nothing to do with your dick.
Right.
Your dick gotta come to conversation.
Right.
Nobody was thinking about your dick but you. Why you gotta bring him to the conversation?
Because he thinks it's what he has to offer, girl.
Oh, man.
And you would just love it.
Would I? Because you probably don't know what to do with it. Because just because you have a...
Especially if you're lying on it.
Especially if you're lying on it. Like, men who listen to this podcast, hi, hello. Just because you have a huge schlong does not mean you actually know what to do with it.
Yes, for all penis havers.
For all penis havers. Like... like, for everybody walking out here with dangly bits.
But we never see Tree after this. Well, after he does also talk to Atticus.
Yeah, because he's chuffed.
And he's like, well, you can have her.
Yeah, he's like, you told Letty what I said, like a little bitch.
Right.
Like, running to the teacher. Like,
how are you going to give something away that you ain't never had?
Right? It was like, well, you can have her. And Tinkle's like, okay. Like, Tinkle's paying him no mind. Because he knows Tree is stupid. Knows Tree's been stupid since high school.
Right. He's never liked him. We can see that from the first episode.
Yeah.
But, we move on to Hippolyta and Dee in, like, a... What do you call that? where they have the...
I was trying to think of the word, too. I couldn't... Is it planetarium?
Yes, I think so. Okay. Where you can see a projection of the stars, and they're laying
back. I call it the star room. I could not...
And Hippolyta points out a comet that she had named Hera's Chariot.
Yeah.
But the honors for this contest to name the comet went to a white girl named Nancy Studebaker. Because they didn't want a little Negro gal to be the face of their campaign.
It's their contest. Right. And
Dee is like, well, you should have fought for it, which is just cute. You know, and Hippolyta says, well, we know the truth. But I love how determined Dee is to share the truth of her mother's excellence with everyone, because she yells it to everyone who can hear her.
Yeah, she's like, see that comet? My mom named that comet Hera's Chariot. And she was like, now they know the truth. And I was just like, oh, Dee. Like, she's so proud of her mother.
Yes, and she's going to be loud about it.
He's going to be loud about
she's
it.
She's like, it's not good enough for just us to know the truth. Everyone should know
the truth. And then we have the museum tour guide talking about the great gifts that Titus Braithwaite got in exchange for teaching the savages how to be civilized. Right, and I'm like...
Yes.
So what you mean Braithwaite to say...
Braithwaite was given...
Been.
From savages. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, no, he stole these.
Right. I was like, where?
You pulled a B&E.
Where's Killmonger?
Right? The first thing I was like, this is why Killmonger had that whole scene in Black Panther.
Exactly.
Where he was just like, I'm not going to buy something you stole from me.
Right. I'll take it off your hands. Right.
I'll just take it off your hands. Like... and so Tree is sore about Letty finding out about the lies he told on his dick, and tells Tick, was like, you can have her, I want no competition and stuff like that. And then
he mentions, that's why I sent Sammy. You out back when Sammy was with that man, you know.
Yeah, he's like, oh, is this payback for when I sent you out back when Sammy was with that dude? And and Tick's just like, that's none of my business.
None of my business.
I don't care.
None of my business.
I mind my business. Right. I mind business that is mine. And Tree is just like, are you sure about that? And Tig is just like, he's just like, I'm not a sissy. I was like, y'all.
That's what they used to call gay men back then.
You know, I know. It's like, it's
parlance.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's just like, because I'm, of course, viewing this show from a 2020 lens.
Right.
It was just like, I couldn't remember if sissy was the accepted term.
It was. Among people. You know, but it was also part insult, but it was also part the term. Because at that time. Yeah. Right. At the nomenclature, there you go. At that time, the word gay just meant happy.
Yeah,
for the most part. So that was what you would call them, sissies.
Yeah, I mean, like, I grew up, obviously we grew up with gay, and I also grew up with, because my grandmother, God bless her, she was actually a very accepting woman, but she was born in like the 40s, so raised in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah.
And she would describe gay men as having a little sugar in their tank.
Yep, heard that too.
So that's what I grew up like. Are they a little funny?
Yeah. No, my mom actually told me that's what they used to call him back then when she was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is, but, like, ugh.
I know, I was just like, ooh, that hit different in 2020. That hit different in 2010. But,
Tree puts it into Tick's head that Montrose is possibly gay.
Yeah, because he's like, Montrose and Sammy. Yeah, got close while you were away. And I was just like, that is not your story to tell,
Trey. It really isn't. But you know, he's that dude.
He's that dude. He microwaves fish in the microwave at work. That is Tree.
Yeah.
If you take nothing else away.
Right. And at this that time, is Tree. Montrose is talking to one of the security guards that he knows so that they can
get into they go away.
They can get into the museum after it closes.
Yeah, after hours.
Right.
And so they disappear, and I was just like, oh my god, is Montrose about... Because now, because Tree saying that puts doubt or suspicion in Tick's head, right. And also puts suspicion in our head. So I'm just like, did Montrose go and blow that dude?
I don't know. I don't think so.
At the very least, like, did he fill up his junk a little bit?
Well,
like,
I don't know. But, you know, after they finish talking, Montrose comes over to Tig and tells him what he said. And Montrose is like, how do you know that guy? You know.
Yeah, Tig's like, how do you know that guy? And actually, he's like, from the bar. Montrose is like, I know him from the bar. But when Montrose comes back, he's like, the security guard said he'll let us in at night. He'll let us through the back way. Right. I was just like, oh, that's an unfortunate choice of words.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That is an unfortunate choice of words at this very moment.
And then, like, Tick and Montrose get into, like, a little more of an argument.
Of course they do.
And Letty is standing between them, and she is, like, so annoyed by them.
Yeah. She's like, can y'all?
You know, and also they're doing this thing of, like, they're kind of, like, not listening to her. Like, they have their own ideas about where they can find the entrance to this vault. And she's like, how about we try the room that's named after him?
Yeah.
Which I was like, yes, exactly.
Yeah. What I would do. If he's a narcissist, yeah, he's going to put his precious vault in the room that's named after him.
Right.
Duh. And so then we we see Christina pull into the driveway of a house.
Yeah.
And go in, and William comes out.
Right. And the thing about this is, like, she's driving very quickly, and you can see that people are watching her from this car. And the music is almost kind of like, almost like, feels like a spy movie to me.
Yes.
Because the music we got in the scene before this, when they see the entrance to the vault, because it's like this huge statue, is very kind of 1950s style, dramatic, very Twilight Zone.
Dun, dun, dun!
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
very Hitchcock.
And you get this kind of different music, kind of feels like a spy movie almost. And you can hear her open the door to the house.
Yeah.
And then you hear the door close to the house, and William is out there.
Yeah.
So he would have had to walk out as she was walking in, because the door doesn't open twice.
Yeah.
I think they're the same person.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, to go back to what you said in episode one, with them possibly being the same person, like, she could have easily opened and closed the door and just
transformed.
Changed forms. Yeah, transformed while, like, hidden by the bushes.
Yeah.
And, like, comes out as William and confronts the people that are watching her, or watching them, rather. And then William put the smack down.
He sure did.
On these two cops who were watching the house. And it was just like, excuse me, gentlemen, I have a date.
I have a date.
Like, seriously, like, beats the shit out of these dudes. Not a scratch on him.
Walks over
and
them.
And it's just like, walks over them, straightens out his suit, and keeps on walking. Like, I'm starting to like William, even though it's Christina. Possibly.
The thing is, they're just a really good villain.
They're really good villain.
They're good at what they do, which is great.
And there are levels to this shit.
Yeah.
There are levels to this. But I also think it's a little more interesting if they were siblings.
Yeah.
Rather than, even though they're not, because if they were siblings, this her story, well, it still would be, because he could have a foible in her.
Well,
because he could be the one that's not interested in being the sons of Adam, and she's, like, super interested and devoted to wanting to do it, and he's just like, I'm the boy, so I got this.
I can't imagine that he would not be interested. Growing up around all those other white dudes who are very into power and everything, and probably pumping him up too, I don't see how that would be.
He could also be, like, the black sheep who, like, you know, doesn't want it. Because that's always, like, the kind of, like, dynamic, and there's always one sibling who is given it and doesn't want it, and the one sibling who doesn't have it who really, really wants it.
Yeah. But we know in the second episode, Tick does ask her about William, if that's her boyfriend. And she says, he's a boy who's a friend sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
But anyway, he comes out, beats them, goes on his, he's like, I got a date to go on. And the next thing we see is our trio entering the museum.
Yes.
And they're looking for how to get into the vault. Montrose somehow figures out that the moonlight will help. I don't know how he knows this.
Because all of the other arches in the ceiling in the dome don't have glass, except for this one panel that perfectly lines up with the statue.
Okay.
So he looks at it. Because none of our main characters are dumb.
Right.
Like, they pull information from their brain vault and apply it to the situation at hand when a particular situation presents itself. Nobody's dumb. So he sees the moon. He was just like, turn off your flashlights. And as soon as they turn off their flashlights, the moon comes in. And it shines on the base of the globe stand. And then that reflects to the map, which illuminates a compass. And then that illuminates a tooth in the crocodile at the base of the statue.
Yes.
And then Letty pushes it. And boom, door opens to the vault. Yep.
And Tick goes down the rope.
Yeah.
Because it's like a big drop, right?
Yeah.
And he sees there's writing on top.
Yeah.
It says something like, all ye who choose to walk the path.
Yeah. It's like, beware all ye who tread the path, ever the tide shall rise.
Right. And there are four tunnels that they can choose from. And Montrose is kind of scared.
Yeah.
And Tix says that they'll need the map.
Yeah.
And Letty doesn't hesitate. She goes over there, breaks the glass, and gets the map, while Montrose is like, oh no, I told him we wouldn't.
It's like, I told him we wouldn't break any, do anything with any of the artifacts. And Letty's just like, fuck that.
Right.
Crash.
We got those pages. And Montrose
is just, and Montrose is just like, god damn it.
And then he seems also kind of scared to go down there, and Letty's just like, get out of my way. He goes down the rope.
Get him away.
You know, into the tunnels. But when they're trying to figure out, like, which tunnel they should take.
Yeah. But like, when Tick goes down first, he gets down, he looks around, he's like, this is some journey to the center of the earth type shit.
Right. Which was the book that the kid in the library was reading earlier.
Yes.
And,
but Letty gets the map, and she's just like, I'm coming down! And Tick's just like, no!
Right.
No! Like, what are you doing? She just goes down.
Her own hands, Tick. She's already died once.
Right? He's like, listen, I already died once. They can try to kill me a second time if they want to. But it's just, then we hear Montrose come down the rope. And that's hilarious. Because Montrose sounds like me. Like, oh shit, fuck, god damn it. So like, scooching down the rope. He just falls on his butt. He's just like, I got it, I'm fine.
I made it.
I made it.
Oh my goodness. And they're trying to figure out, again, you know, which tunnel they're going to take. And Letty knows which one they should take. Because she read the brochure. And the brochure stated that he came back from his first expedition in 1810. And Montrose fills in that he created Sons of Adam 3 years later.
Yeah.
Which, again, Tick is like, how do you know this? Right?
Yeah.
So they all go down the north tunnel that Letty points out to them.
Yeah.
And here we go back to Ruby.
Yes, we go back to Ruby. And Ruby is in the bar, pity drinking and singing.
Yep.
Because her heart... as one does. Looking fantastic in that pink dress.
Yes, it's very glittery, sequenced.
Her boobs gold. Are up to her chin.
Okay. She looks amazing.
She looks so good. And she's just like singing and, you know, the super sad song and nobody's feeling it. She just goes, well, fuck you too.
Right, because maybe two people clap.
Yeah. And she gets up from stage and puts her guitar down and goes to sit at the bar, and the bartender's pouring her a drink, and she's like, I can't afford another one. He was just like, oh, blue eyes down there got your tab for the rest of the night. And she looks down, and there is dun dun dun, there is William looking at her and drinking as well.
He looks good too.
He does. I actually looked up that actor because I thought I saw his face before in something. I haven't. but he is actually from Scotland.
Right.
And the actress who plays Ruby, she is actually Nigerian, but raised in England.
Right.
William comes over and she just looks at him and is just like, listen, white boy. Just because, like, he was like, can I sit down? I was like, can I buy you a drink? And she's just like, if you keep my glass filled, you can do whatever you want. And she was just like, if you're going to be paying my, like, you pay for my bar tab, do you honestly think I was going to be, like, modest or demure? Get out of here. And he's just like, you're not the first white boy to, like, offer me.
Because he's like, what if I could change your life?
Yeah, he's like, what if I could change your life? She was like, you're not the first white boy to offer me the world, or offer to keep me a kept woman. And he was just like, I wouldn't insult you like that. And she was just like, you're also not the first white boy to promise me the world in order to have sex with me. He's, right?
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay. So he's just like, you know, this is what you white boys do when you want to come to the dark side. And so Ruby is shooting down all of William's attempts to sweet talk her.
Yeah.
And to, like, get her to, like, endear himself to her or something like that. Like, any game he is spitting, Ruby's just knocking that shit like it's a ping pong ball. Like, yeah. Get out of here. Get that out of my face. Like, fuck out of here with that. I've heard it all before. You're not the first white boy I've encountered. This is not my first rodeo.
Not at all.
So, bye.
Right. But she's still drinking that drink, though.
But she's taking the drink because free alcohol is still alcohol.
But we go back to our trio in, now they're in the tunnel.
Yes.
And Montrose is kind of creeped out by all the webs. And apparently he didn't put fresh batteries in his flashlight. So now his flashlight.
He did not.
Which, how would you not do that?
Right? You have your flashlights and you have your batteries in your flashlight. You keep some in your pocket.
Always.
Always.
Make sure you put new ones in there.
Right? If you're going to be gone for a long time, you can't back up. Come on, Montrose. No. You have never read an adventure novel.
You've never been camping, have you?
Right. Yeah, like... But, and so they're walking, and it turns out they've been walking for, like, 20 minutes. And they only have 2 hours before shift change.
Right.
So they get to this open cavern, and it's like a thin plank. The deepest, darkest cavern, and a thin ass fucking plank.
To walk across.
And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, is somebody gonna die this episode? We can't lose too many.
But they
we just lost one.
They tie Letty around her waist with these knots, because she's gonna go first. I guess probably because she's the lightest one.
Yeah, she's the lightest one.
And Montrose, she's freaking out, and Montrose makes up this incredible story about how the knots were passed down from his father's father because he was an enslaved man who had to take care of horses, and if he lost a horse, he would get whipped, and he never lost a horse, and when Juneteenth came, he walked out of the plantation without a scratch. And as Letty gets further down the plank, she takes heart in this.
She
starts going down the plank. And Tick says, the Freemans were never enslaved.
Enslaved? And Masha's just like, she's out there, ain't she? It's like, if that's not an old black person move.
But that was a good story.
It was a good story. Like, you've had practice at this, Montrose. You could come up with a story. Like, because Leigh's like, is this not going to hold? And Masha's just like, I have just a story for this occasion.
Been waiting to tell it.
And so, Letty starts walking, and Tick has the rope, and then we hear her scream. And Tick is like, Letty! And so he goes out to find her, and she's just like, oh, he's like, what happened? Because she's alive. Yeah. Like, what happened? It's like, there's something swinging. It turns out there's an axe. like a giant fucking axe.
On a pendulum. Swinging. Right.
On a pendulum, swinging back and forth. So if you don't time it right, you're gonna die. And, like, Montrose is just like, Tick! He's like, we're fine. It's a booby trap. We're fine. He's like, I'm coming.
And see, he is so dark in there that he can't even see them. Montrose can't see them.
Yeah, he can't really see them. They're probably maybe, like, 10 feet in front of him. And he can't see them. It's pitch dark in here. And then Montrose looks down, and the plank starts disintegrating. And, because Letty's crossed, Letty's jumped, and, like, and Montrose looks down, and the plank's disintegrating, and he's just like...
Montrose starts screaming, right?
Montrose starts screaming, he's like, what? It's like, the plank!
When the plank started disintegrating, though, I was like,
right? I was like, oh my god, oh, this is bad, this is all bad, this is all bad, this is all bad! This is all bad! And so Tick runs back to go get his father, and it's just like, Dad, like, you're gonna have to jump. So throw me the bag. And Montrose throws Tick the bag, and the bag falls. And they both look at each other, and Montrose is just like, you better catch me. Like, I swear to God.
You better catch me,
You better catch me, boy, because if I die, I'm haunting your ass. You better catch me. And so, like, Montrose jumps, and Tick catches him, and they wobble a little bit, but, you know, they make it, and they just start walking as fast as they can as this plague is disintegrating, and they come to the booby trap, and Montrose is just like, what the fuck was that? And it's just like, it's a booby trap, hold on, it's just timing. So, whoosh, it's and Tick jumps, and then Montrose is just like, ah!
Panic walks through it.
Panic walks through it. They just start walking as fast as they can on this super thin plank to get to the end, and they come to the end, and it's a wall. And they're just like, motherfucker.
Yeah, it leads directly to a wall. There's no ground around it at all.
There's no ground around it at all. And then they're pushing, and Letty figures out that, oh, it moves, and it must be a combination. And they're trying to figure out the combination, and the plank is still disintegrating behind them and is disintegrating faster. And so they're just like, what is, like, so Tick's trying to figure out what it could possibly be, because it has to be tied to the Order of the Ancient Dawn. And he starts saying it, like, what he kind of remembers. And then Montrose gives him the rest of it, you know, the Adam, and then Eve, and then monsters, and then God, and then, yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And that unlocks it, because it's like pictures. And that unlocks it, and they get in, and they're in water, just like, ah, oh my god. It's like that scream of just like,
we made it.
Oh my god, we made it. Yeah. Oh my god, we're alive. He's, and like, Montrose
Jesse
is just
Owens
like,
got shit me? On me.
Shit on me. He's like, did you see me jump?
They're so excited. And Letty's, you know, also excited and laughing. And Tick pulls off his shirt for some reason. And
so he's constantly, like, pull off his fucking shirt and disrespecting me week after week.
Once an episode, he's got to. And it's in the contract.
Right.
And Letty is like, oh, you're bleeding. You know? He's like, I know. And I'm like, Tick is in a really foul mood, and it is very annoying.
Why are you in a foul mood? Why are you mad at me?
Right.
What the, bitch. Like. Yeah. But is your anger at me really your love for me? Because if it is, I'm going to need you to be more transparent, sir. Okay. Atticus
Freeman. Better communication. You can read all these books. Can you speak?
Right? Men. Anyway.
Can you communicate? But we go back to Ruby at the bar, and she's kind of pouring her heart out to William.
Yeah.
About how she didn't get the job, you know, and how she felt about it. And she tells him, if I was in your skin, I wouldn't even have to run this rat race.
Yeah.
You know, and she says, what I don't know is what to do about it.
Yeah. And like, and Ruby is just like, she's very much, and it's true to a certain extent, that like, once one of us gets in, the door closes for the rest of us. And she wanted to be the first one in the door. And so she's very much just like, we're all pitted against each other to get like this piece of cheese. But it's a thing that she doesn't realize, like, at that moment. It's just like, girl, the cheese is rotten. The cheese is bad.
Yeah.
All of us are fighting for, like, this piece of moldy, stank cheese. But it's some. But even that moldy piece of stank cheese is still better than no cheese. And that's the fucked up thing about it.
I mean, he's giving her the eyes.
100%. You know,
he looks really good.
Don't
he looks
let
really
William...
good in his suit.
Yeah.
He's got a nice face. Like,
yeah, don't let William come in my vicinity.
Listen.
Because I would have relented. Mean,
they're a hot couple. They look good together.
And like, and like, she's like, you know, and he's just like, you know, still try. She was just like, no. You know, if I had your skin, I didn't have to run this race, everything you just said. And he looks at her, and she's just like, quit looking at me like that. It's not going to happen, white boy.
Right. And cut and then to... It happening.
It happened. Like, they get in there, and like, Marilyn Manson's cover of I Got a Spell on You is playing, which is very apt. And they're like, they walk in the door, and they're like, kissing and stuff like that. And Ruby cuts her hand.
Yeah, because they crash into something and she cuts her hand
They crash into something and she cuts her hand and William immediately heals it. And then, like, you know, licks up the blood.
You know, he licks it.
He licks it. Yeah. He licks it. And then, like, kisses her. And they end up on the stairs. Like, she pushes him on the stairs and gets on top of him. And they're making out and stuff like that.
And she's, like, not even deterred by this demonic branding on his chest.
Right? It looks like
scarification.
Yeah, it looks like a Pisces or something. A goat.
No, it didn't. Something with horns.
Yeah, it looks like something with horns. And she's just like, I think she's drunk enough that she's just like, this really cute white man's about to fuck me, so, girl, whatever.
But, like, on the stairs?
That does not look comfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
That doesn't look comfortable at all, but maybe it's whatever. Like, I have a theory that there is sexual attraction between the two of them, but also William put a somewhat vex on Ruby so that she would be insatiable for him.
Oh, well, I don't know.
It's like she probably wanted to, but he, like... Because he's a magical white wizard, so so like he could have easily been like looking at her like power of suggestion kind of spell thingy. But anyway, but they fell on the stairs, and it's nice. And I was actually glad to see, because we don't see this often, because Ruby is a full figured woman, like she's a plus size woman. She's probably on the smaller end of plus size, but she's still a plus size woman. And William is a straight sized man. He's a thin man. And so we don't really see that often. And he is just like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck you on these stairs.
Can we do a chair? A chair?
The floor. Or the floor. Or this very expensive rug that I'm sure is here, but the stairs. Right. And he, like, takes off her dress. He, like, slips off her dress. Don't know how he got it off in one...
I don't either.
Because that dress, like, it zips up. Yeah. But yeah. Got it off of her, and they do it on the stairs.
I was like, all right, girl.
She about to... Please don't let Ruby get dickmatized. Like, please don't. I'll be so sad if that happened. Or she just has this random story of the night she's like with this magical white man.
Well, we get back to the trio in the cavern, and the water is rising.
Yes.
And they're wading through it, and Tick is kind of ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And Montrose says, is that what that imperialist army taught you to leave your folks behind or whatever?
And Tick is just like, bitch.
Ooh, he's mad. And he tells Montrose that would never happen because he could trust them.
Yeah.
You know, he can't trust Montrose because he knows Montrose is hiding secrets.
Yeah.
And, you know, about his knowledge about all of this. And Montrose finally tells them about the bylaws book that he burned.
Yeah.
And he's arguing with Tick about how he came down here, how foolish he and pigheaded he is. And he calls Letty no backup. And she's like, ugh, and walks off.
Yeah. She's sick of the men being men. She's like, fuck both of y'all.
They're in their emotions and, like, not focusing. And she's like, let's find these freaking pages.
Let's find those pages. Can y'all
care about all this other stuff. Right.
Can y'all two just... Can y'all fight about this once we're out of this fucking tavern that's filling
right
with water?
We don't have time. And she continues to go forward, she runs into a floating body, and she, which she believes is one of her missing neighbors, which I wonder how, like, did she see him? And I'm thinking maybe he was one of the guys who set up the horns on the car.
Yeah.
And was leaning against that, because I think those were supposed to be the same three dudes.
Yeah.
And they keep going, and they find what looks like an elevator shaft, and they press it, and it's the elevator in her house.
Yes.
And I'm like, the tunnel. Too bad they didn't realize this before they drove all the way to Boston.
They had to take the elevator down.
Right. Had to break into the museum.
Had to break into the museum. So, like, so in that moment, I was just like, oh, shit, this is the tunnel that's under Letty's house. This is a magical fucking tunnel.
Right.
Because that was the tunnel we saw in the last episode that lit up with the bodies in there. And I was just like, one, y'all could have saved a 14-hour drive and just gone to the basement.
And then you wouldn't have to have been in Boston, for one.
And so this magical elevator, and I'm just like, these wizard white people, like, Jesus, there's so many layers to this. And then Tick is just like, okay, get in the elevator. This is getting dangerous. And Letty's just like,
trying to send them both off.
Yeah, it's like, Letty's just like, it is now getting dangerous?
Right.
Montrose was kidnapped. I died. Stop making this like this is all about you. You're not the center of the fucking universe. Right.
This isn't, it's not happening to only you.
Yes, it's happening to only you. Like, all of us are in this now. I died. I would bring out that card every time. Bitch, seriously. I died. Like, legitimately, I was dead. Shut up. And so she stomps off.
She kind of leaves them behind.
Yeah.
As well as you can in that much water.
Yeah. It's like chest deep at that point. And she stomps off in chest deep water.
Montrose is, like, shivering.
Oh, my God. He is so cold. He is so cold.
I was like, this fragile baby.
Yeah, and Tick is fine because Tick burns hot anyway.
Oh, my God.
The joke was right there. I had to take it.
So Montrose is telling him that he needs to apologize to her.
Yeah.
And he tells her about how his grandmother had told him once, you know, you have to think of a love song in your head and sing it to yourself when she's mad. And then by the time you're done, you know, she should be less mad. You know, but that the fussing is a part of the love anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably the first time that he's spoken to Tick about love at all.
Yeah, probably. Like, because he says, like, you know, your girl is, he's like, she's crazy like the rest of them. And she's complicated. And your mom's complicated, too. And like, they kind of bond on that way. Because, like, he knows his son, you know, has a thing for Letty. He knows Letty has a thing for his son. But both of them are strong-willed and hard-headed. And and Montrose essentially saying, it's like, listen, you have to be the one to bend. Because you can't ask her to bend.
Also, he's been wrong.
And you've been wrong. You've been wrong this whole time, bruh. You've been out here with a stank attitude. Like, you need to apologize. You just need to apologize. Yeah.
And then Letty finds the vault.
Yes.
And it's there's an arm in it. And what I realize is that it's Hiram's arm. Because his ghost only had one arm. He only had his left arm.
Oh, okay. I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at the...
Like, so Hiram got to the vault.
Yeah, he got to the vault and that's where he died, probably.
Yeah. Which is why he was still in the
because
house.
I was like, the way that arm is separated from the body is just, looks brutal.
Yeah, did he like, cut it himself? Did that? Or did he just...
That did not look like a cut from a doctor, a scientist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, did he just, like, pull his... Did he wrench his own arm out? Jesus.
I mean, no, I don't think so. but anyway, they pull the arm out. And you can also see, like, the ring. He has on one of the rings from the Sons of Adam on it.
Yeah.
And then Atticus actually pulls out his own ring.
Yeah.
Which I was wondering when they were going to get back to that. Because, you know, he did leave the house with that ring.
Yeah.
And he sticks his arm into the same hole. And, like, something comes down on him and pierces him. And he starts bleeding.
And everybody's just like, oh my god, oh my god. Yeah.
The blood is what is used as the key to gain them passage. And so a door with a door opens in with the ceiling. Ladder. And a ladder drops down and they're able to climb up.
Yeah, because Hiram didn't have Braithwaite blood, so he would not have been able to open the hatch for the ladder to come down, for them to go up to the vault, essentially.
Right.
So they go up and they look around. I'm pretty sure they're happy not to be in water for like 5 minutes. Right. And they look around and they see all these skeletons at a banquet. And it's dusty and it's cobwebby because it's been abandoned for 100+ years at this point.
It looks like they're maybe in a ship
or something. Yeah, it looks like they're in a ship.
And I was like, how? Where is this?
Magical white people.
I guess. And there are desiccated corpses and they're of Native Americans.
Yeah.
And they are in... They are clearly I don't know, they got dead while they were alive? Like, they were still doing things, right?
Yeah.
One of the corpses is holding a baby to breastfeed it.
Yeah. So, it looks like they were just stopped.
Frozen, right.
Yeah, they were frozen. And so they walk further, and they see this figure at a desk with its hands on some rolled up pages. Letty spots it. She's like, oh, there it is.
Listen, Letty is the hero of this story today.
100%. 100%. She's the only person who's like thinking. Nobody else is thinking. She's the only one who's like sees like the clear path while Tick and Montrose and their feelings.
Letty talks to Montrose, so they get to Boston. Letty finds the entrance to the cave.
Yeah.
Letty gets the map. Letty knows what tunnel to take.
Yeah, Letty knows all Letty this. Letty
finds the papers.
Yeah, Letty is doing all this stuff, and y'all looking at her like she, you know.
We need to protect you. You shouldn't come with us. It's so dangerous.
She's like, fuck y'all. Like, I'm the reason we're going to get out of here.
Right. She knows how dangerous it is more than all of you.
Yeah. She died. Back to that. She died.
Right. But they go to reach for the pages.
Yeah.
And then the corpse, reanimates to its life self. And it is, very creepy.
It's very creepy. I texted Maria. I was like, I would be standing in a puddle of my own urine.
Yeah.
I would have voided all of my bowels. Do you hear me?
Oh, my goodness.
And, and also, if you look at it, when they're doing, the 360 as the corpse is reanimating and getting its muscles back and its body's back and stuff like that, Tick is grabbing onto Letty's crotch and grabbing onto his dad's chest. And I was just like, that's really weird. But okay, but honestly, you're not in your right mind because a corpse is reanimating in front of you. So I really can't fault you for where you choose to grab onto.
Not at all.
But so this corpse reanimates and we see that it is a two-spirited dual genitaled person.
Yes, intersex person.
Is an intersex person.
And
I wasn't sure if it was, reason I said dual genital because I didn't know if it was a true intersex person. Not that I'm the person who can classify.
Well, intersex covers a lot of different, different conditions where you may have genitalia of both sexes. You may not, and it may be that you have a different condition where your chromosomes are just different, even though you may look a certain way.
Okay,
so it covers a lot. It's kind of a catch-all term. The camera kind of lingers a little bit, and I'm like, okay.
I don't want to believe that they did it for titillation or macabre fascination.
Yeah.
I think it lingered to show you the full picture of the person.
It's just you kind of have to be careful because there's so much fascination with bodies, of people who are not quote unquote, the usual or whatever.
Yeah. But even watching this, I was just like, oh, okay. That person has dual outward facing genitals. All
right. Right. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
And Tick gets a, they keep, although they do keep saying her, her.
Yeah.
Even though, they eventually start talking and they say their name is Yahima Mayakoti.
Yeah.
And Yahima is speaking Arawak.
Yes.
And Yahima says they're from the city of many lakes. And that they are Two-Spirit.
Yes.
And Yahima talks about how they met Titus and how they understood the language of Adam and how they were helping Titus with the language of Adam until they realized Titus was just hungry, greedy.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they, because Yahima says, I've never met a people who are so hungry, always hungry. And I was like, oh, like Titus was greedy. Like, Titus wanted all this information and wanted Yahima to give it to them.
Yeah, nothing could satisfy him.
Nothing satisfied more and more and more. Titus. Yeah.
Yeah. And when Yahima realized this, they refused to help Titus anymore.
Yeah.
And want to be reunited with their fellow Arawaks.
Yeah.
So Titus said he would. Titus betrayed them. Killed her people, who are the people we see at the table, around the table and everything, and then trapped Yahima there.
Yeah.
And, oh, excuse me. We know this because Tick is speaking to Yahima and can understand what Yahima is saying.
Because he has that Braithwaite blood.
Exactly. And Yahima can understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And, but nobody else can. And one of the things about this scene that I did like is that Montrose says, what are you? Right? To Yahima.
Yeah, and Tick corrects.
Tick corrects and says, who are you? Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously a person.
Right?
This is a person.
And I'm kind of wondering, like, where Montrose is coming from, like, thinking maybe Yahima is, like, a magical being or something.
Like, yeah, you know? I mean, well, what we know of, like, Native American traditions and beliefs is that Two-Spirit people were magical people, but Yahima might be, like, an actual magical person.
Right.
With magic given to her by Titus, because...
Right. But it's still better to say, who are you?
Yeah. It's like, what are you? Montrose. Bruh.
Right.
Bruh.
And Tick speaks to Yahima about how he is of the Titus Braithwaite blood, but they're not family.
Yeah.
And how he needs these pages to try and protect his people from people like Titus.
Yeah.
And there are
people,
Yahima,
because there are people like Titus who want to hurt.
And who are still hungry.
Who are still hungry and who want to hurt. And he just, and Atticus just wants to protect his people. And Yahima says to Titus, says to Atticus, says to Tick, you are not at fault for essentially the sins of your forefathers, but I cannot help you because I do not know your spirit.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, can we have a chat?
Yeah, girl, can we just sit down and talk for a little bit? Because you're from a long time ago, and can we just sit down for a little bit? I'm pretty
sure you would help me if we could just talk it out, like, you know.
Yeah, we could just talk. I'm not a bad person.
And then Yahima kind of goes back to the desk and is, like, holding the papers.
Yeah.
And Montrose is like, let's get these papers and get out of here.
Yeah, let's just go. Let's just G-O out the D-O.
And he grabs the papers, and then all the windows start breaking and water starts rushing in.
Yeah.
And so, like, Tick grabs Yahima, and they try to get out.
Yeah. So, like, is the ship place cavern thingy... Is all of this under a ship?
I don't know. Like, is it under Letty's house? Like, where are we?
Is a ship under Letty's house? A ship is under Letty's house, Maria.
But the thing is,
there's a shit ton of water under that bitch.
They went up to get to the ship.
But there's also magical white people.
What is this geography? I don't know.
I think it's purposefully meant to disorient.
I think so, too.
And, like... But the way that they get... Because all the windows start breaking and water starts rushing in. Tick grabs Yahima. and they fucking book it. They jump back into the water and they just start swimming. And they go, they swim to the elevator, and Letty sees the papers are floating away. And so she just starts fucking swimming to get them. And she gets them, and Tick's trying to keep the elevator from closing. And Montrose tries to go after Letty, and Tick is like, just let her do it. Like, just let her, you know. And so Letty comes back, and she has them. She was just like, the papers. And she has them, and they get on the elevator, and the elevator goes up. And they're all able to breathe again. So, said all that. So, like, the elevator is magical. It's connected to Letty's house. In the previous episode, the symbols, when the elevator was going down, the last episode, this vault is cutting through space and time.
Yes.
So, it very well could be there's a ship under Letty's house that is also underwater.
Right.
Because Tick mentions the moon and how at high tide, the moon and high tide, so they only have like an hour before the whole place floods for them to get out alive.
Yeah. And once they get a little air on the elevator, Tick and Letty kiss, and there's this big swell of romantic music.
This kiss, I was like, yes! It's like the romantic kiss you wanted.
Right. Well, but it's very, you know, in line with adventure movies.
100%. Like, this is the Indiana Jones episode.
Yeah.
This is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then Yahima starts screaming.
Well, like, actually, if you look at her, she's like, it looks like she's like something's caught in her throat, like she's having like chest pains. And then she opens her mouth and just a siren comes out.
Right.
Like a scream. And then Tick punches her.
Because they don't know what else to do.
They don't know what else to do. I was like, yeah, you have to knock her out for that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Yahima, but we have to knock you out.
Unfortunately. And it was just like, I don't really, well, we'll get into this later. So, they take Yahima into the room where the orrery was found, and
But before that, Hippolyta and Dee in the car.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Hippolyta and Dee are driving back, and Dee's just like, how'd they get back to Chicago without Woody? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know. And Dee's like drawing in like the Atlas.
Also, where is Tree?
Where is Tree? They left his ass.
Did he get to Philly okay?
Do we care?
I'm just, you know, it's just a loose end.
He microwaves fish at work. We don't care about Tree. and Hippolyta's just like, Dee, is that your father's Atlas? She's like, where'd you get it? And Dee is just like, it was in the glove compartment. And so she pulls over. She's like, let me see. And she looks at it. And she sees that Devon County is circled. Yep. And she turns around. And Dee's like, Mama, where are we going? And she's like, to get some answers. I was like, Hippolyta, no.
I was like, I hope it'll be daylight when you get there.
Right? It's like, she's about to drive all night. And that's nothing but rage, adrenaline, and grief pushing that woman.
Yes, yes.
And so then we cut to Letty's house.
Yeah. Cut to Letty's house, and Yahima is in the room with Tick, and Tick has been talking to Yahima, and they figured out that Yahima's under a spell where they can no longer speak once they've escaped the vault.
Yeah.
And Tick is like, well, maybe, you know, we can teach her English, you know, and Yahima can write about it or whatever. And like, then
write the translations.
And then it'll be easy for them.
Yeah.
And it's him and Montrose talking about this.
Yeah.
And Montrose compliments Tick, saying that he was very brave, that he's a good man, that his mother would be proud of the man that he is. It was just like everything Tick has ever wanted to hear in his whole life.
From his father, yeah.
Yeah. And he says, thanks, Pop. And he goes to bed.
Yeah.
And
hopefully it goes to bed with Letty, because they're not going to have sex. I'm just very tired.
They're probably too tired. Yeah,
they're literally going to be in that bed and sleep.
Right. If Letty isn't already asleep.
Is already asleep. Fell asleep with her clothes on. Wet probably. Clothes on. Just face plops.
And then Montrose goes into the room with Yahima and closes the door. And I'm kind of like, what is he doing? What is he doing?
Yahima's like sniffing a carrot. Like, they're just sitting there.
Yahima's sniffing a carrot. Probably because Yahima's like, what is this food?
Yeah, what is this food? I mean, I'm going to eat it because I haven't eaten in like 100 years, but it's weird. What is this?
And then Montrose leans down to Yahima's ear and says, I'm sorry. And then slits Yahima's throat.
And in my notes, I was just like, Montrose can go.
But in my notes, I have in huge capital letters, I don't like this.
At all. It's like, because Montrose knows more. We know that he knows more than he is letting on. We know this. And it's just like, but you kill this person? Why?
I also don't like it because you introduce this intersex two-spirit person.
And you kill them.
This indigenous person.
Yeah.
And you have the other definitely gay character.
Yeah.
Kill them.
Yeah.
And I just don't, like, I really just hate the way indigenous people are treated on screen, particularly, because just thinking about the scene again, you know, I also would have liked it if Yahima just, like, had her, or had their own subtitles, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And not relying on Tick.
Tick, right. We can hear it from Yahima's mouth.
Yeah.
You know, even if Tick did say it so everybody else could hear it.
Yeah.
We could still have subtitles for Yahima.
Yeah.
You know, and they, the thing is, like, they acknowledge through Yahima what Titus and his people are like.
Yeah.
You know, with that constant greed, that constant hunger.
I mean, it's that meme.
That betrayal, that disrespect.
Yeah. But
the same time, you do this to this character.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think about it that way.
It's really disappointing to me.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way until you just said it. Because I didn't like it because Montrose killed them for what reason? Like,
right.
Only because to protect something. To protect whatever ego.
He thinks he can protect
Tick
from dying by making sure he doesn't get to the language of Adam. But as Letty had already explained to you,
yeah, like, you were kidnapped.
It's not just about your decision to not participate.
Yeah, like, we're all in this now. Like,
we have Christina's gonna keep coming.
Yeah, she's gonna keep coming after us. She's gonna keep, like, you know, trying to harm us to get what she wants, or use us to get what she wants.
And your best defense is a good offense,
right? And so you
and
keeping
now
these
you
secrets.
Don't have that.
No, we don't have that because we had somebody who can translate. We had somebody who was willing to help, who came with us and was willing to help, and you kill them because of what they can bring forth, what they can bring to light, and you think that is too dangerous. Well, not having Yahima is dangerous.
Right.
And it's just like, and you have, like you said, you have the possibly queer character kill the indigenous intersexed character.
Right.
Who, and I would have loved for Yahima to stay around.
I would love for Yahima to stay around. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen a two-spirit indigenous character on television ever.
Yeah.
Or I can't recall, like, the last time I've seen that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I was like, ooh, great. We get to have this.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people might argue, was like, well, you had them for that period of time. It's better than not having them at all. But it's like, but Yahima.
No.
Yeah, Yahima still...
If you're going to have them, you need to treat people with respect.
Yeah. And this is kind of where the ball was dropped.
Yeah, I was like, damn, did anybody watch Disclosure?
Right? Right? Like I... Thinking about, like, what Yahima could have bought to the rest of the season. Like, even if it was only for, like, the next two episodes and, like, something happened, like, she ethered away, or, you know, was killed by Christina. Like, it still wouldn't have been great, but it would have been better than seeing her on screen for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, just to. And the thing about it is, you know, she, when, well, when they wake up, I guess, or reanimate,
yeah,
they talk about all this suffering they endured.
Yeah.
And then they get punched by Atticus.
Yeah. And then they die.
And they get killed. And I'm just like, hey.
I hope. Like,
just brought Yhemah back to make Yhemah suffer more. Like,
yeah. I'm kind of hoping. Oh, please. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of hoping that, like, Montrose tries, but, like, because of the spell that Titus put on Yhemah, maybe Yhemah doesn't die.
I'm hoping Yhemah isn't dead, but you never know with the show.
Yeah, and also Montrose can go, but
he really can. I'm, you know what?
It's like, I know
he's doing work, right? He is. Yeah. Getting a little character development here, but it's really hard to like be like, oh yay, when you end up killing
this way. You end up killing another like character, another minority character, minority within a minority.
Right. Show me some solidarity, people.
Right. Like, come on, and like, rest in peace, Yhemah.
Rest in peace.
Hopefully, Yhemah. Your death is not in vain. It might be, but.
Yes. Hopefully you get rejoined with your ancestors.
Or you come back and haunt the fuck out of Montrose. Yeah.
Right. I'll take that too.
It's like having a spirit attached to you for the rest of your days.
Right.
Good. Hope you like that. Hope you like an indigenous spirit just with you all the time.
Enjoy.
Watching you sleep, watching you shower, watching you poop. I hope you enjoy that.
Until that's what next you got. Time, Montrose.
But yeah, it was a good episode overall. It didn't pack. It wasn't. We weren't inundated like we were in the past like 3 episodes.
Yeah,
because those episodes were just like bam, just constant hits to the body. Just like, just a hit to the face, a hit to the ribs. Just this one, while there were a lot of things happening, and a lot of like things are revealed to us, seemed slower paced than the previous ones, if that makes sense.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and they focused on like one thing. But yeah, that was episode 4 of Lovecraft Country, A History of Violence.
Yep.
And join us next time for another episode. We hope to see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. This is the end of the line. Thank you for crossing Lovecraft Country with us. If you'd like to contact us, follow us on Twitter at LCCCrossing, where we live tweet every Sunday. Follow Megan at Ephemeral Quiet and Maria at Valar More Dollars. Our intro and outro music is courtesy of ALBM Productions. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share our podcast so other fellow travelers can cross with us.